Na vaisa paksha syavi paksha eva va. Parashyam radyo vishita samantraja. Dhavamanam anudavanyanisha. Yatarajam shyanilam bhukta sankha. Sapakshasya vipaksha eva va. Parashyam radyor vishita samantraja. Tandavamanam madhudavanyanisha. Yatarajam shyanilam bhutta sankha. Vaisa pakshasya vipaksha eva va. Parashyam radyor vishita samantraja. Tam davamanam madhudavanyanisha. Yatarajam shyanilam bhutta sankha. Na, not, vai, however, svapaksha, ally, asya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, vapaksha, enemy, eva, certainly, va, or, parashya, of the Supreme. Minute yo, in the form of time, vishata, entering, samam, equally, praja, living entities, tam, him, davamanam, moving, anudavanti, follow behind, anisha, dependent living entities, yatha, as the jangshi, particles of dust, anilam, the wind, bhuta sangha, other material elements. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in His feature of eternal time, is present in the material world and is neutral towards everyone. No one is His ally and no one is His enemy. Within the jurisdiction of the time element, everyone enjoys or suffers the results of his own karma or fruit of activities. As when the wind blows, small particles of dust fly in the air, so according to one's particular karma, one suffers or enjoys material life, purport. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original cause of all causes, He is not responsible for anyone's material sufferings or enjoyment. And there is no such partiality on the part of the Supreme Lord. The less intelligent accuse the Supreme Lord of being partial and claim that this is why one enjoys in this material world and another suffers. But this verse specifically says there is no such partiality on the part of the Supreme Lord. Living entities, however, are never independent. And as soon as they declare their independence of the Supreme Controller, they immediately put into this material world to try their luck freely as far as possible. When the material world is created for such misguided living entities, they create their own karma, fruit of activities, and take advantage of the time element, and therefore thereby they create their own fortune or misfortune. Everyone is created, everyone is maintained, and everyone is ultimately killed. As far as these three things are concerned, the Lord is equal to everyone. It is according to one's karma that one suffers and enjoys. The living entity's higher or lower position, his suffering and enjoying are due to his own karma. The exact word used in this connection is anisha, which means dependent on their own karma. The example is given that the government gives everyone the facilities for governmental action and management, but by one's own choice, one creates a situation which obliges him to exist under different types of consciousness. The example given in this verse, that when the wind blows, particles of dust float in the air, gradually lightning occurs, and then torrents of rain follow, and thus the rainy season creates a situation of varieties in the forest. God is very kind. He gives everyone an equal chance, but by the resultant actions of one's own karma, one suffers or enjoys this material world.
Krishna prestaya bhutale shimate bhakti vedanta svaminiti namine namaste sarasvate deve gauravani pracharine nirvishesha shunyavadi Paschatya deshatanine mukam karoti vachalam angum lam yagate girim yat kripatamaham vande shri guru dinatavinam.
So, our beloved Srila Prabhupada is making it very clear that God is equal to everyone. It's not that some people are favored over others. Everyone has the equal opportunity to either be with Krishna in the spiritual world, in one of the loving rasas with Krishna, or his expanded Vishnu forms, or to be in the material world. It's not that somebody is being forced to some position. Everybody has free choice. So, what does that mean then? We have to learn how to use our free choice properly and wisely. That's why Krishna speaks the Bhagavad Gita. That's why Krishna sends a spiritual master. So we can be trained how to use our free choice intelligently. We can see here in this material world there's millions and billions and trillions of living entities who've misused that free choice, you see. And they're suffering like anything in the cycle of birth and death. Horrible sufferings, birth, death, old age and disease, again and again and again. Sometimes a germ, sometimes a demigod. Even being a demigod is not that great compared to being a liberated soul in the spiritual world. It's all suffering. Every position in this material world is suffering. Even being a demigod is a suffering position, actually, compared to the actual happiness of pure bhakti, tasted in by the residents of the spiritual sky. So we have to learn from our great authorities, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, etc. We have to learn how to get that taste for bhakti, pure bhakti, you see. Now we have a taste for sense enjoyment, you see. We're lusty, we get angry, we're greedy. You see, all these bad qualities are sitting in our hearts, isn't it? So we have to come to that position of pure bhakti. We have to make that transition from the diseased state to the healthy state. It's not difficult if we plug into the process that Prabhupada is giving us. If we take it very seriously, embracing it as our goal in life, to become the pure devotee. I have one goal in my life, and that's to be Krishna's pure devotee. If we focus on that, I must become a pure devotee of Krishna. And we can pray to Krishna to help us. Pray to Prabhupada to help us. Pray to our Guru Maharaj to help us. Please bless me that I can become the pure devotee, you see. That desire has become very, very strong in our heart. The other things we can do, livelihood, career, those things are there, but they are less important. No matter how successful you may be in your career, the time of death, it has no impact on your position. What does have an impact on your position is how much you develop love for Krishna. Krishna prema, that love for Krishna. So how do we have a love for Krishna? There's an old saying, to know him is to love him. The more you know about Krishna, the more you will love him. It's natural, because he's so lovable, actually. Krishna is so lovable, personality. Is anybody more beautiful? Anybody more powerful? Is he? Anybody more renounced? Anybody more famous or wealthy or wise? No. No one comes close. Krishna excels at every opulence, even renunciation. He gave up all that wonderful, loving mood of the Brijabasis. He went to Dwarka. Can you imagine? Well, he felt he had to go to Dwarka. He gave up. He didn't go back to Vrindavan, where the sweetest ecstasy was there. So Krishna is renounced. He went to Dwarka instead. Even though he told Nanda Maharaj and Jajasada he was going to come back. When they went to Mathura, you know. They told him, I'm coming back. He never did. So Krishna is also very renounced. So you may say, oh, that is Krishna's cruelty. That's Krishna's cruelty. No. Actually, by Krishna's not going back to Vrindavan, he blessed the Brijabasis, because love and separation is more intense. The highest ecstasy is to be separated from one's beloved and hankering. You see? Love and separation is the highest ecstasy. So Krishna blessed the Vrijabhasis with separation from him. But actually, that's the strongest connection. So actually, Krishna was present in Vrindavan. Krishna, that's why it says, Vrindavanam padrajaja napada ekam gachati. Krishna never sets 1 foot outside of Vrindavan. You see. He may have appeared to go to Mathura. You see. That was an expanded form of Krishna. Or Dwarka, that was an expanded form. The original Krishna always stays in Vrindavan. He's in the heart of the Vrijabhasis. You see. So the more we hear about him, the more we talk about him, we just have to learn to love him. I mean, he's more lovable than anybody. He's so beautiful. Oh, my Krishna, he's so beautiful. I remember as a young spiritual seeker back in 1968, I found this picture of Krishna, a poster. It was so beautiful. I just bought it. Made an altar in my apartment. It's so beautiful. Radha and Krishna. We just have to fall, as they say, head over heels in love. We have to fall in love with Krishna. I just want to think about him. I just want to talk about him. I just love Krishna. We want to come to that position. I love Krishna. He's so beautiful. He's so wonderful. The more we can develop that mood, you see. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You see. When I remember when I first joined there in Austin, we were blessed by a very wonderful devotees association, His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami. He came to Austin to check out. He heard there was a favorable situation. Prabhupada had ordered him to open 10 temples. So he opened the Houston temple, and then he heard there was some amazing thing going on in Austin. That there was some hippie street market where some hippie had a shaved head and a sika, and he was selling spiritual sky incense. So he had some books also, Prabhupada's books he was selling. But it must be a favorable atmosphere for spreading Krishna consciousness. So he came up to Austin, and he went to that hippie street market, and he didn't have any instruments. He had no kartals, no mridangam. He just clapped his hands and sang. And it was so beautiful, he immediately attracted a following. So I became one of those followers there in Austin. But the remarkable thing about taking prasadam with Vishnujan Swami, he would tell Krishna stories while we're taking prasadam. He had to memorize so many stories of Krishna. He would just tell the stories while we're taking prasad. It was so sweet. Talk about nectar. Wow. So that way I got my start in this movement. And then Prabhupada wrote me one letter. He said, "You have been trained up under the expert guidance of His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami." Prabhupada confirmed, you see. So I remember that training, you see. I remember that training. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. He used to say, the way he would say Krishna was so, with such feeling and love, it was just wonderful. So we have to take advantage of Krishna's equalness, His non-partiality. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. It's a formula that applies to everybody. It's up to you, it's up to each one of us, how much we want to experience Krishna. If we want, we can just experience His external energy. It's like a citizen, can, if he wants, he can just experience the prison of the government. You see? This external energy is like the prison of Krishna's kingdom. You see? This is the prison house, material world. If that's your level, well, you can experience the prison house. You see? But we have just as much opportunity as the eternal associates of Krishna who never left Goloka Vrindavan. We have just as much facility as they do to experience Krishna fully at every minute. Just as much facility as they do. There's no difference. It's not that Krishna is prejudiced. Well, you fell in the material world. You're just a rascal. The hell with you. No. Every one of us has the same opportunity of Radharani to love Krishna. You see? We just have to learn how to take advantage of it. That's all. Prabhupada gives the example. Just like the traditional system in India, you see. They would, now they consider it barbaric, or child marriages. They consider it a horrible thing now. They're rallying against no more child marriages. Let the girls grow up and get puberty and have illicit sex with 10 boys, and they can think about getting married, which one they like best. Ridiculous culture, you see. But formerly they had child marriages. By the time they get puberty, they're already married, you see. So the little girl, she's married to some little boy, and they're still living with their parents. But this is your husband, he lives down the street. So she doesn't have any feeling over my husband, just some little kid. She doesn't mean anything to her. But they engage the little girl in cooking something and taking it to her husband, you see. Practicing, serving the husband. So in this way, right now we're like the little kids, just trying to learn how to love Krishna. You know, we cook things for him. The parents would say, "Now, my little daughter, you take this. You make a flower garland and you take it to your husband." Doesn't mean anything, but mommy said so. I do because mommy said to do. So it's like that for us. Guru said, now you make a flower garland, you give it to Krishna, you give it to the spiritual master. We just do these things, we were told to them, you see. But as you do these things, the feeling starts to come, you see. The feelings start to come. Prabhupada said, you must bow down. You see. We don't feel like bowing down, but we're told you must bow down, so we bow down. All right, I bow down. Because I've been told about them. But that day would come when we just completely bow down in total ecstasy of giving ourselves to Krishna, putting ourselves at Krishna's lotus feet. Now I belong to you, my Lord. I just prostrate at your feet. I totally belong to you and nobody else. Devotional service in practice and devotional service in ecstasy. Everybody's looking for ecstasy, isn't it? But they're looking in the wrong place. They're looking in sense gratification. Indriya seva, serving the material senses. Titillate the senses. The eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the belly, the genitals. Titillate them, you see. In this way, the poor souls are completely lost. I mean, it's ungodly. It's horrible how much the material society has gone off the track. I mean, it's shocking, actually. How everywhere, the radio, the TV, the cinema industry, everything is completely in ignorance. The governments, everything is totally ignorant. So this great Acharya Srila Prabhupada has come to make a spiritual revolution. It's actually the state of the Bhagavatam verse. This Bhagavatam is meant for bringing a revolution. You see. So we are the lucky souls that somehow we've been attracted to be a part of this revolution. Prabhupada's revolution to transform the human society. Of course, the most important thing, Prabhupada said, is to save ourselves. You see. The most important, Prabhupada said, the most important thing, save the world, but even more important, save yourself. You see. Because actually, you can't save the world any more than you save yourself. To whatever, in other words, to whatever extent you have Krishna, to that extent and that extent only can you give Krishna. You see, our mission is to give Krishna to the whole world. So if we don't have him ourselves, if we're just pseudo devotees with a tilak on the nose and kunti mala and engaging in illicit sex, what is the use of it? You see? But to whatever extent we have revolutionized our own hearts, to that extent we will be powerful and potent to revolutionizing Melbourne, Australia, the planet Earth, even the whole universe. That, what is that word? Jagat Guru, spiritual master of the whole universe. A bona fide spiritual master can liberate a whole universe. Not just one planet, a whole universe he can liberate. So, the revolution begins right here. You see, in my own heart. Am I totally absorbed in loving Krishna with every thought, word, and deed in all times, place, and circumstances? Nope, far from it. Let's be honest, we're far from it. But if you understand, this is what I must do. I must somehow develop pure loving feelings for Krishna, that my every thought, my every word, my every deed in every situation is for the pleasure of my spiritual master and Krishna, you see. That determination will carry you a long way, you see. And you can beg for it. You can pray to Guru, you can pray to Krishna. My dear Krishna, please help me to become fully absorbed in serving you. There's a special mantra for that. I think you all know that mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. We are begging for pure devotional service. You see, don't just chant on your lips. Chant from your heart, begging Krishna, begging Krishna, begging Krishna, please get me out of this nonsense consciousness, trying to enjoy separately, and let me be fully absorbed in loving and serving you with every ounce of my energy, you see. Well, that's what we're praying for, you see. Full absorption in Krishna consciousness. Begging Krishna, begging Radharani. Hare is addressing Radharani, you see. We're begging Radha and Krishna, please save me, please save me, please save me, Radha and Krishna. Please save me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is what my Baba said, you must chant 64 rounds every day. But the devotees, they said, Baba, we can't. They called him Swamiji. Swamiji, we can't chant 64 rounds. Well, then you must chant 32 rounds every day. Swamiji, we can't do 32 rounds. All right, 16. You see, that's a concession from Prabhupada. Actually, with our modern day society, see, formerly in India, they didn't have to work, you know, 50, 60, 70 hours a week. An hour and a half commute, you know, it was a different culture. The Indian villages, you know. So 64 rounds was doable formally. But so Prabhupada gave a concession for our modern day situation, you see, 16 rounds. So we really have to take that very seriously. Those 16 rounds. This is my chance now to purify my heart. Take it. This is my therapy. You see, heart therapy. Let me take this opportunity now to purify my heart. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So if there's any questions, I can try to answer them. Let me turn up my hearing aid amp here. See, hopefully I can make it out with some of these questions. Okay.
You were mentioning at the end that it's even more important to save our own self than saving the whole world. But sometimes I feel like we have the choice, like either we go for a late night preaching program or you are sudden. You were saying before that it's better to save one's own self.
Yes, Prabhupada said the most important thing is to save the world, but even more important is to save yourself. That's right.
Yeah, but I feel often, because we have a really busy schedule, so we have the choice between either going saving others, yeah, or late night preaching program, or sacrificing all our energy,
yeah,
or on the other hand, looking after our own reading or sadhana.
Well, just think of Prabhupada's example. A 70-year-old man with two heart attacks showing up in New York City with only 40 rupees. Can you imagine the sacrifice that Prabhupada made? If we told you, now you go to New York City and here's 40 rupees, now you've started a spiritual revolution. Just try to understand Prabhupada's mood. You see. The fact is that the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. So they're not really separate in that sense. The more you sacrifice your time and energy for giving Krishna to others, the more you get Krishna yourself. The more you get Krishna, the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. So that's why I'm traveling and preaching all over the world, because I'm greedy for Krishna, getting more Krishna. Even though I'm sick today, I'm coming down. I'm very sick. I'm coming down to give this class because I know I'm going to get a lot of, by giving Krishna today, I'm going to get Krishna. So actually, you should engage in preaching as much as possible. But don't neglect your morning program. You see? Mangalarti, Tulsi worship, Japa. You can go on, yeah. Is that clear?
Yeah, I'm still working on the details.
I mean, if it's a point where you don't have enough, there's no time to sleep, then you have to have some proper rest, of course, you know. That, you know, you go out all night preaching and you come back and you didn't get any sleep. You're out preaching the whole night and distributing books at the airport all night and you come back. Of course, I don't think they allow that, but just an example. And you come back from Mangalarti and you have to sleep. You have whatever rest you need. You have to give the body sufficient rest and sufficient foodstuffs. That's there. But you should put yourself as more as possible for preaching with. That will attract the mercy of Krishna like anything. And you'll be blessed by Krishna with awakening the love of God within your heart. Next. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, in the ninth chapter of the first canto, Bhishma Dev says to Yudhishthira Maharaj that this war, sarva kala krita manya, it is the implication of time alone that this war happened. Now, Swayambhuva Manu is using the same analogy of time to stop him from fighting, to end the war. So the same concept or the same principle, once it's being used to justify something, once it's being used to end something, the same thing. So how do we develop a mature understanding of which course to apply in our own lives when we are running into situations?
How to develop a sublime understanding of what?
How do we develop this mature understanding where the same principle can be applied to start something or to stop something?
To start something, everything is for Krishna's pleasure. That's if starting something will please Krishna, we start it. If stopping something will please Krishna, we stop it. That's a simple thing. We're not attached to starting or stopping, we're simply attached to pleasing Krishna. That's all. Isn't it? We have one desire, and that's to please Krishna. That's all. Next.
Somebody will be rich to the spiritual world, do we have any desserts apart from feeling the Krishna's desires in the spiritual world?
Because the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world, and we have a lot of desires here, once we reach the spiritual world, will we have other desires than pleasing Krishna in the spiritual world?
Other desires than pleasing
Krishna? Pleasing Krishna in the spiritual world.
In the spiritual world, every desire we have is for pleasing Krishna. We do everything for Krishna's pleasure. That's the spiritual world. In the material world, is you desire to separately from Krishna. In the spiritual world, everything is for pleasing Krishna. But within that, that being said, there's all kinds of rasas or tastes. Just like in Krishna book, you see so many amazing pastimes for pleasing Krishna, but actually it appears that they may be doing something for themselves, but actually it's all for Krishna's pleasure. In other words, they may have different relationships. Radharani may sometimes disagree with Krishna, you see, for example. But that's all within, that it's ultimately all for Krishna's pleasure. But we can't imitate that. We're not on that level. The point is, once you get into your rasa with Krishna, your original loving relationship, you may disagree with Krishna. You may even chastise Krishna. My mother just said, chastising Krishna. You naughty boy! You see? So those are all there, but it's all for Krishna's pleasure. He enjoys like anything. All those rasas are for Krishna's pleasure. He enjoys being chastised by Mother Jasoda, Radharani, you see. That's his great pleasure. He loves it. He's in ecstasy. So everything is for Krishna's pleasure, although it may appear to be not pleasing from material viewpoint. But we can't. That's for liberated souls, not for us sadhana bhaktas, you see. We can't imitate them. Gopi Baba, or something like that. Not possible. We have to simply be the sold-out servants of Guru and Krishna. That's all. Whatever my Guru Maharaj orders me, I accept that as my duty. That's all, finished. Simple thing. Okay? Next. Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You said that because of our envy for Krishna, we had to defend the material world. Where is the exact scriptural reference for it? Which Shastra says that exactly?
Where is the scriptural reference which says because of our envy we descended from the spiritual world into the material world?
I can't give you a verse number, but it's definitely confirmed in Prabhupada's books. I could look it up easily in the Veda base after the lecture. Definitely, Prabhupada's, he says it's misuse of free will. So, that it is envy as a fact. And I could, if you give me an email address, I can easily send you the scriptural references for him. I just don't have them on the tip of my tongue, but they're definitely there. You can come up to the class and give me your email address. I'll be happy to email you all the quotes for your full satisfaction. next.
Rasiraj.
That's why Krishna is called Rasaraj.
Not to Raj?
Rasaraj.
Rasaraj, yeah. Rasaraja ki jai. There's a Maharaji over here, yeah.
Yes, if the Lord is neutral towards everyone, then as the Lord is sometimes neutral towards us, see some things in our lives as Krishna's arrangements. But if he's neutral and he's not favored, then you are.
Okay, you have to. You can't space out.
So, if the Lord is neutral to everyone, why is that? That devotees, as devotees, we see certain things in our life as Krishna's arrangement. As he's favoring us with some arrangement.
I heard it. Krishna is reciprocating whatever loving feelings you have for him. He reciprocates with them. Now he does that for anybody and everybody. If you take one step towards Krishna, he takes 10 steps towards you. That's how kind he is, you see. So, Krishna reciprocates with everyone. according to their degree of giving their love to him. That's a fact. Does that answer your question? Okay. Next. Krishna is really great, you know. He's fantastic. There's no person like Krishna anywhere in all of existence. And you can be his intimate associate. It's available. In fact, you can be so intimate that you're his only friend, you're his best friend. Just like the in Dwarka, you see. It's a rasa, but actually he expanded himself into 16,108 forms for each queen. Each queen thought, well, I'm really special, I get Krishna, and there's other queens, those poor other queens, you know. So Krishna can totally give himself to you 100%. If you give yourself fully to Krishna, Krishna will fully give himself to you. That's a fact. He fully give himself to you. So why are we cheating ourselves by not surrendering? Time for us to wake up and realize we are cheating ourselves by not fully surrendering to Krishna right now. We're cheating ourselves. Just cheating ourselves. So time to be a little intelligent, if we say in Texas, y'all. You all, it's time for us to be a little intelligent and get off this independence trip we're on and really get serious about surrendering to Krishna. Next. Yes. Are you here?
Gurudeva, you said everybody gets an equal opportunity. Yeah.
We're not equally what?
Talented.
Huh?
Talented. Skills. We don't have
not equally talented?
So we lack the talent to do that powerful preaching. So how do we take good advantage of it? Because we have our shortcomings with us.
We're not equally talented.
Yeah.
But the thing is, whatever... when you engage in Krishna's service, you become talented. We may not be talented, but just like I was never a talented, I'm not that talented yet, but by giving lectures, you naturally become more talented at giving lectures or whatever you're doing for Krishna. So it's just a matter of, if you do something for Krishna, you'll become talented at that naturally. Others may be more talented at making a flower garland than I am, but that's not necessarily the symptom of their love. Some may be a better musician, you see. That means they love Krishna more because they're an expert musician, not necessarily. So your talent doesn't necessarily indicate how much you love Krishna. Just like there's very talented musicians who do kirtan, but they're not devotees. They're Mayavadis, you see. So the talent is not the thing. Krishna's not looking for talented devotees. He's looking for loving devotees. Loving devotees. Okay? Yeah?
But to revolutionize the world, the preaching has to be very powerful in this material world. People are really lost in the material sense gratification.
The preaching, the thing is, the more you have the awakening of Krishna consciousness within your heart, you will naturally be potent for giving Krishna to others. Whether you're a talented speaker or not, whether you have a college degree or not, these things don't matter. How much do you love Krishna? To that extent, you'll be able to inspire other people to love Krishna. You understand?
Okay.
Next. What is it?
We have equal opportunities as to Dwarkavasis and Brajvasis. Does it mean we replace them?
I didn't follow all the points.
Because we have equal opportunity as Radharani, or the Brajvasis,
yeah.
Do we replace them?
Replace? You can't take anybody, you can't take their place. But you can also have, you can also, the interesting, Prabhupada actually says that, I heard, it's there in the Veda base, so you can actually switch your rasa. You can be whatever you want to be. You can be an intimate gopi girlfriend, or you can be a cow. The pure devotee can be whatever they want to be in Krishna's pastimes. There's no limit. You can be whatever you want to be. But we shouldn't try to think now what I want to be. That's artificial. That will divert us from... Now we just have to think of being fully surrendered to Krishna and Guru and whatever they want. But then once you become a completely pure devotee, normally they don't change rasas. They stay. They have a particular desire to serve in a way, but if they want to switch, they can. Prabhupada says that. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. Next.
Isn't that enemy placed like a gopi or devotee?
What?
Isn't that an enemy that we want to replace the gopis?
Oh, yeah, an enemy of the Radharani? Well, there's two parties of gopis. There's the Chandravali's party and Radharani's party. There is some competition between the two parties. You can be in one of those two parties. But not now. Now you just be totally still on serving your spiritual master. Yes. And you see what Krishna has in store for him when you wake up in the spiritual world. You see, if you give this whole life to Krishna, you get initiated, you're totally dedicated to your Guru Maharaj, you follow the orders, you chant your rounds, you're totally dedicated. The time of death, you go to sleep and wake up in the spiritual world. You wake up in Goloka or the Vaikuntha realm, whatever, according to your rasa. And you can always switch if you don't like Vaikuntha. But many devotees prefer Vaikuntha. That's why they're there. Many devotees prefer the Vaikuntha mood than the Vrindavan mood. Interesting, isn't it? But especially in Lord Chaitanya's movement, we're very attracted to that Goloka Vrindavan. You see, in Lord Chaitanya's movement. Lord Chaitanya's mood is the mood of the gopis. Lord Chaitanya is like in the mood of a gopi. Next. Everybody's satisfied now, getting ready. You ready to become pure devotees?
Yeah.
Ready to make the whole world Krishna conscious?
Yeah.
Jai. Jai. You know, it's really amazing. There's a verse in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana that says, Mad Bhakta Samti Bhutale, which means the whole world will become filled up with devotees. Krishna says, the whole world will become full with my devotees. Mad Bhakta Samti Bhutale. It's right there in the Brahmava. It's in the Vedavasa, you can look it up. Verse. Amazing verse. So that's encouraging for our preaching. The whole world will become filled up with devotees. Wow. Just imagine if we had to rent some big, you know, football stadium for Bhagavatam class. 10,000 people coming for Bhagavatam class. Wow. We outgrow this facility. You have to have Bhagavatam in a big, soccer stadium or something, you know. 10,000 people coming for Bhagavatam class. It's possible. We can actually grow like that. So let's do it. Let's revolutionize our own hearts and revolutionize the whole world, you see. And if we're not successful, at least our heart's perfection is guaranteed. You see, if you dedicate your life for making the whole world Krishna conscious, one thing is for sure, you'll go back to Godhead. You may not make the world Krishna conscious, but you will go back to God. And if you make an effort to preach, 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 isn't that Lord Chaitanya's order? Jade de katahe kaha Krishna upadashamara gaya guru hoyote nene. Whomever you meet, instruct him in the teaching of Krishna in this way on my order. You become guru and deliver the people of this world. That's the order of Lord Chaitanya. So why not embrace that order? Prabhupada actually says that this Jade Deka Tahaika order is the same as Sarvadharman Parinirjam. That's how we surrender to Krishna, by embracing this order of giving Krishna, giving Krishna, giving Krishna to everybody. You see? So, anything else? We got actually 3 more minutes. The cutoff is 9, so. Anybody have a question you always wanted to ask, but you didn't dare ask? You can ask it now. Yes?
I have to ask. Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, the first question is, with regards to what you mentioned in the class, that ultimately what is important is how Krishna conscious we are at the point of death. And everything else, career, progression, jobs, and everything is not on the same level of importance.
Yeah.
So, I've always thought about this, and I've, few years I've lived with a misunderstanding of the same, where it sounded to me a little nihilistic, that's not important.
A little bit what?
And a little nihilistic, this is not important, this is just not important, so
not
overlooking.
Important.
So, I've always wanted to ask this, because we hear it all the time from everywhere we go. We get to hear this from devotees again and again, that, you know, bhakti is the key element to grow and cultivate. Other things are not so important, or, you know, they can wait.
The thing is, you dovetail all those things into bhakti. You make your whole life bhakti. Your career, you dovetail into bhakti. You see. Let me do well in my career so I get more money, I can give more money to the temple. You see what I'm saying? You dovetail everything into Krishna. Even your career, you dovetail into Krishna. That's the key. Okay. That being said, we'll stop here. And we thank you all for tuning in. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gaura Premanandi!